We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
He is mad. He is crazy. Some say he never had any marbles at birth. Or maybe he's onto something. It's the Queery Cast with Larry Queery Rye. It's not fearless, just real talk. And now, here's your host.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Hi, hello, and hey, and welcome to this week's episode of The Queery Cast. The name is Larry, and I'm so jealous of South Africa right now, not for any other reason than the fact that we had a cool time, coolish, not so cool. But before I go into all of that, just to remind you that in the second segment, we're going to be talking about some things about the weird things that have happened around lockdown in Zimbabwe. It's just like, sort of like, wow. Some things have just happened. It's just like you're sitting there and just like, wow, okay, this just got weird. And in the third segment, I'm going to talk to you about how to confront your partner if they cheat. And also asking, are there instances in which you can approach the other person if they cheat? This is, you know, with all the drama around Boss Tumelo and stuff like that. But let's talk about South Africa. South Africa just announced that it is now going to start selling alcohol again. That's the big highlight for them. But the bigger highlight is that they got their vaccine. And the vaccine has just arrived, and they've got a million doses. They're going to test those doses. There are some doses in the next couple of weeks that are apparently going to come for the region, according to South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. Now, thinking of Cyril Ramaphosa, I don't understand what South Africans call him, white South Africans particularly, call him Ramaphosa. You know what I mean? It's like we don't call Xavier Xavier. You know what I mean? It's just not a thing. It's like in Zimbabwe, we got white Zimbabweans getting Zimbabwe. And you get in BBC, call it properly. It's called Zimbabwe, or Harare, and people I think are Harare and Mugabe, and it's Mugabe. It's a thing that just annoys me. It's a pet peeve. I'm sure you've got sources of pet peeves of your own. But I was just annoyed, you know, I just get annoyed by that. But in South Africa, where we're sort of like very envious of South Africa is the fact that they now can go out until 11 p.m. like adults. In Zimbabwe, it's 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's the weird thing that just kind of treats us like animals, you know, like our animals got to be in by 6 p.m. because it's going to get a bit dark. Or, you know, like birds, you don't really get birds out at 6 p.m. because there's a time they just kind of go to bed. Curfew, yes. We just kind of have that in South Africa. Their curfew is 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. like adults. And I kind of feel like the president of Zimbabwe is back at work right now. And he should be trying to have a look at these things. Like, yeah, 6 p.m. is a bit stupid. It's just kind of like treating people like kids. And when you treat people like kids and you see them breaking the law and stuff like that, then they're going to look like kids. But I'm going to talk about that in the next segment of the Queery Cast. New toll gates came out, and they're now in U.S. dollars. And, well, they've got a U.S. dollar component. And it's just like this government of Zimbabwe waking up and saying that, yeah, let's just pretend we have a local currency. And but in reality, we are just kind of like we're going to use our local currency as kind of some monopoly money that just kind of dances along with the U.S. dollar, because it's kind of like, yeah, we're just going to peg everything to the U.S. dollar. Everything's just like, oh, it's pegged against the U.S. dollar. So the question is there anything that the Zimbabwean government is able to price according to a local currency, like local production? Or is local production based on U.S. dollar? And if it's based on U.S. dollar, then can we not pretend then, therefore, that we have a U.S. Zimbabwe dollar? It's kind of stupid. It's kind of like one of those things where you're just like, yeah, all those kind of things you claim that they're wins and gains and so forth. Don't claim them. It's like one of those people that kind of, you know, exaggerates their tragedy You probably had a terrible time, an averagely bad time growing up. And then one day, and then the thing you do is that you exaggerate the fact that you grew up in a tough environment by saying that, lions used to come and hang out with you. And you just kind of like, you didn't have to go there. We already believed your life was tough because you didn't really, you only had one meal every 2 days. That was tough enough. You didn't have to add the lions. Nobody cared about the lions, but it's like the Zimbabwe government does that. It's like, let's add some stuff, just call things and kind of claim, like, I don't know, maybe we pretend that we're a US dollar economy in terms of whatever on a claim. I don't know, it's just kind of weird. There's new fines. Did you check that out? The new fines that came out, most of the fines were going up by like 1,000%. And fines that were like $200 went up to like $1,000. That's 500%. But I got some fines that are like going up on ridiculous, like 30,000 get to 240,000 or something like that. Look, I am not looking at the fines right now, but the new criminal fines are out, and I wonder if it is going to deter crime. It's just going to make people do crazier things and talk to nastier people and get away with a lot of more horrible things. What else happened? Oh, the big thing, the silhouette challenge for me is like the highlight of January 2021. The silhouette challenge is women dancing. Now, the thing is, it was all fun and games when very amateurish people were doing it. But then you started having porn stars doing it with their partners. So you're getting a silhouette of people having sex, and you're just kind of like, I'm looking at the actress. Do I really want to hook up with her or anything like that? You don't know. You don't really understand the whole situation. Sad news, Cicely Tyson passed away. That was really sad. She passed away. Now, she's an iconic actress in the United States, and she sort of like, she was like, you know how when you watch Grace Jones in A View to Kill on James Bond, how she was a powerful black character. She wasn't just like one of those random Bond ladies and so forth. Even when she has a sex scene with Roger Moore, who's looking like 200 years at that point, she's doing it because she's trying to get to as a means to an end. She's empowered. When you look at Cicely Tyson, you look at a lot of her work. She always portrayed strong black women or grounded black women, and that opened up a lot of space for other black women to be able to come into the space of acting in the United States. So Cicely Tyson died at the age of 96. So rest in peace, Cicely Tyson.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We appreciate your time. Tell your friends and family about us.
It is the Criticast. The name is Larry. And Zimbabwe, suddenly the president, because of how a bunch of guys died, like famous people died. It's kind of like that point, remember when Azororo Makamba died and suddenly there was a huge lockdown and so forth. I think we had that seminal moment in Zimbabwe where suddenly the government said, oh goodness, it's not the poor guys in Mbare who are dying anymore. Some random nameless person was dying. A couple of famous guys died. So there's been an aggressive enforcement of lockdown requirements. Why I say that is because the death numbers were higher than when the famous people died. And there was not a hard enforcement, but out of the famous people died. And look, I'm not saying there's anything to take away from the famous people. It's sad that has died. Any soul, any person that has died, and the numbers of dead people in Zimbabwe have gone down. Any person who's died with COVID-19, and rest in peace to them, and the condolences to their family. I'm just talking about the reaction of the authorities. And the authorities in this instance have sort of kind of like, oh goodness, oh yeah, it's kind of like now we have to take it seriously because one of our buddies has died or whatever the case may be. It might not be the case, but it kind of feels like it, because after those events happened, suddenly the police enforcement was a lot harder. guys were getting away with all sorts of things. I know people having house parties and whatever the case may be, were having bribes and all that other stuff. They're like, yo, and the police and stomping into houses now. And they're just sitting there like, yeah, but you know, the numbers were higher the other day. So it's going to look like at some point, because there was harder enforcement by the police, then therefore it meant that the COVID numbers went down. And yet in reality, maybe it's just that, I don't know, people just didn't meet each other as much. And I don't know, if it still comes down to the same thing, doesn't it? When you think about it from a hardcore enforcement point of view, it comes down to the same thing. If people are enforcing on a hardcore level in terms of the police, it means there's just going to be less people meeting each other. But it just kind of felt that way. So if you haven't heard, you've been living under a rock. In Zimbabwe, lockdown in its current format has been extended until the 15th of February. The vice president of Zimbabwe, Constantino Chiwenga, came out and read a speech in which he said, you can check out on 3mob.com, just look for lockdown extension, and you'll be able to read the speech or listen to the speech. We put an audio up there. He came out and said, you know, 1%, the stuff is good, the numbers have gone down, but we're really sad that we have to do this. And he was conciliatory. I mean, his tone, I have to say, the guy's tone was conciliatory. Even when he had that triple burial that he did, the speech that he had a lot of compassion. There's a lot of like feeling like, yes, I feel the pain and we need to come a little bit. I mean, look, maybe also because his comrades and his friends had passed away, but you kind of want to feel that from politicians. You want to feel that they care about your issues and so forth. Now, the thing that is happening right now, I was talking about how the enforcement that is happening in terms of under this new 15 and extra, he said extra 2 weeks, it's actually 10 days extra of COVID-19 tightening. By the way, for the guys who are dodging the Valentine's, and to the guys who were not to the guys who have to become creative. Like, make me something, she'll say, and because you can't really go. And, you know, before you could just get rid of the problem from Valentine by just buying her something. Now you have to actually mean it. So, you know, I know we're getting away with it. But anyway, in terms of tightening of COVID-19 regulations, the reality of the situation is it has also resulted in people engaging in all sorts of criminal activities. Now, remember, there is a thing that they say in what they call habits and so forth. It takes about roughly 21 days to create a new habit. Now, if this is happening, that people are creating new habits where they learn how to break the law and learn how to dodge the cops, not because they really want to, but because they actually have to feed families. The longer these lockdowns in their, you know, regular format, if the format remains the same, you wonder if people just end up picking up that habit. And after COVID-19, you know, thingy that's happening stops, the lockdown, they will just be used to dodging cops, which means you create a new brand of criminal. I don't know. It just kind of like feels like that way. But I'll say a shout out to the Zimbabwe Sports and Recreation Commission, which gave permission to a couple of sports, including Zimbabwe cricket, where the ladies team is going to be able to play cricket this year. And also the men's team is going to be able to travel to United Arab Emirates to play cricket. FC Platinum, the football team, are going to be able to play. But I mean, look, in all of this, I know I'm complaining a lot about regulations. The numbers have gone down. And that can only create hope. I'm hoping that somehow, in a strange way, the president of Zimbabwe, like on Thursday, gives a speech and says, can we change, you know, lockdown curfews to a little bit later or something? I don't think it'll happen. I think the Zimbabwean government loves control. So, you know, getting away from that kind of even 10 p.m. was ridiculous for us to have. That was our best curfew since the COVID-19 pandemic started. But, I mean, you know, you got to hope that he's going to wake up and say, because 6 p.m. is just ridiculous. It's just kind of that situation when you're kind of like, no, you can't do anything. But the moment you start, you have to go to bed. And it's just ridiculous. And I'm not even talking about going to bed in a good way. I'm just talking about, like, imagine you... You know, we're talking about football the other day. I was listening to a football show the other day. The guys used to be able to go and vent about how they hated their football team and vent about all the horrible things that the football team... Now, you're getting in that irrational reaction to things because you don't have a place to go and have an outlet. So it goes up. Those are fortunate to go to work. If you're passing through the, you know, the pub or the... tavern or whatever it is, or whatever where you go to have a drink before you go to work, you calm down before you go to work. But now you have to be home within 3 hours of going to work, and then but you have to arrive at work within 2 hours of getting a bus. So it's just stupid. I mean, it's like one of those, like, wow, why didn't you give it 3 hours either way? How do you think you're gonna get to work faster than you're gonna leave? It's supposed to be the other way around. I mean, like, then extend work until 4 because people can rush home. It's tiring.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
It is time.
Listener discretion is advised.
I don't think I would ever bring myself down to that level where I am confronting somebody else because of my partner's choices. I don't know the other person. The other person doesn't owe me anything. I don't owe them anything. So what do I think I'm going to gain from going to her and asking her why, you know, the one person I would have to deal with in such a situation is my Tumelo, you know, not the other person. I can't be fighting other week. Like, if I start fighting Runako today, tomorrow I'll be fighting Janice, tomorrow I'll be fighting Veronique. You know, it will never stop. I need to cut the tree off at the roots. This thing of cutting off branches won't work. Like, in Shona, my mom once said, "Kuti unoipedzaere nyika yese uchivatevera," you know. And I've always thought about it. He will cut this one off today, and tomorrow it's somebody else. The day after tomorrow it's somebody else. So would I have to be confronting all the other people? So it's best to just fix the problem, you know, rather than make a fool out of myself, because the whole world is going to be like, yeah, you know, that one's girlfriend, she's crazy, but they won't stop dating my guy, you know. Yeah, they won't stop dating him, but they'll know I'm crazy because they know I'm going to confront them. So I don't want to be the crazy woman fighting other women over a grown-ass man.
Hi Larry, how are you doing? So when it comes to this, I would never ever confront the other person. If my person is cheating on me, that's between me and him. Whether the other woman knows about it or whatever, I do not care. It is between me and my partner. If he's cheating on me, it is something that we have to fix or I walk away from. It is not something that I am now going to start discussing with the other woman or trying to confront her or trying to tell her to stop, because she's not talking to herself. She's not seeing herself. It is my partner that is going to this other woman. So now fighting for it, it's pointless. It is pointless. So no, I would not confront the other woman.
All right. My 2 cents are, why confront the other person? Confront your person, because your person is one in the wrong. If she was asked out by someone else and she said yes, it's not the other person's problem, but my girl's problem for saying yes to the other guy while she was dating me. So I would confront my girl. Uyana dear, uyana bazoyo. Akangono akachiyevawo akavumiwawo semavumirana ndakaitwa saka. Makes no sense for me to confront him and say, why are you going out with my girl? Doesn't make sense.
So what I just played there is a couple of people that asked a simple question. Would you go and approach the other person if you found out they were cheating? And in all the instances, they say, no, I wouldn't, because everybody wants to claim that they will be the bigger person. I am of the opinion that most people would just go and go ham. If you come across, you're just going to go crazy. So I decided, let me think about it differently, because I was going to do a show on how to approach somebody who has been cheating on you. For example, it's for your friend or whatever it is. There's instances in which they can happen. It's a relative. And then, but if you suspect or have proof that your partner has cheated on you, it's not always clear what to do next. So we're going to go through a couple of, I'm going to give you a couple of pointers as to what to do. First of all, take a deep breath and evaluate the information that you have. So sometimes the information is given you as a third party. Somebody tells you that, I saw your dude doing something, or I saw your girl doing something. And sometimes it's based on the fact that information is not necessarily the best. Maybe it's kind of that situation that you don't really want to put any emphasis on it. Or maybe it's the fact that they get late calls in the middle of the night and you start thinking that, you know, they must be cheating you. But, you know, if you don't have proof, you're relying on your partner's sense of honesty and openness to get to the truth. So you got to make sure if your partner is actually having an illicit affair, honesty and openness are clearly not priorities for them. That's another thing. Why am I reading my notes differently? Let me go through that again. I'm not even going to edit this. If you don't have proof, if you're just going on a hunch, right, without proof, you're relying on your partner's honesty and openness to get to the truth. And if the partner is actually having an illicit affair, then honesty and openness is a thing that you're going to need from them. Now, you're also going to think, like, this is, who provided the proof? Is it from emails, texts? Did you find panties or eyewitness accounts from trusted friends or family? Then, you know, you start thinking about the confrontation if that is the case. So what do you do? Ask yourself what kind of outcome you want. So more often than not, people go in and they say, go ham on the situation. They go, and the question is, do you want to stay together? If so, what would that look like? What is the thing that you want the other person? If you want the breakup, how are you handling it? If there are children involved, is there anyone that needs to move out? What about pets, financial issues, and so forth? It's okay sometimes if you don't know what you want, depending on, you know, how much information you have. You might not necessarily feel that you have the net facts necessary to think about the future, but at least give it a thought about what you want. Figure out the details you want to know and what details you don't want to know. So there's the thing that a lot of people did. It's like the thing that happened on Friends where, you know, what's her name? The blonde girl, Rachel, she asked too many questions. Did you enjoy it? And so forth. Those are things that you might not want to know about what the person did in the affair. So do you want to know details? Do you want to ask if all sorts of info? Do you want to know names? Do you want addresses? Do you want to know what dates? Do you know what intimate details of specific encounters? What is it? And when you know those things, you need to know, you know, what that information does for you. And some advice I'll give to you: sit down with a pen and paper and write down the questions you want to ask and memorize them. You don't want to come across and you're holding a piece of paper and do that. And then next thing is plan the appropriate time and place for the conversation to go. What I'd say is, you have the conversation alone. Don't have people around so that there's no acting up. Avoid alcohol, so don't have drinks before that. Have a plan for what you will do after the conversation. So if it doesn't go well, have your parents or your friend's place that you're going to go and stay. And during the conversation, stick to the facts as you know them. Don't present your partner with any proof you have of their infidelity and ask them to respond. While venting or getting emotional is natural and perfectly acceptable under certain circumstances, and these are circumstances that you will feel that you necessarily need to do that, try not to be combative and frame your questions as accusatory rather than exploratory. But why I say that is because the person will just become defensive and they're going to make it about them, and they could manipulate the situation where you end up in a situation that it just becomes. If you feel your partner may become aggressive or otherwise dangerous to the confrontation, well, have the conversation in a public place or in the presence of supportive friends and family. This is to avoid a situation where there's domestic abuse and that sort of thing. Try also, you know, sometimes also have the conversation with an open mind. Try to listen to what your partner has to say about why they cheated. It's possible that your partner may not have an explanation for their infidelity beyond the number of drinks they had that night. It's also possible that your partner might have acted in a reaction to problems they perceived in the relationship. Now, when you have this conversation, then you now understand that there's a big difference between justifying betrayal and explaining what led them to cheat, that is making excuses. So you decide when you know both either way that they're talking, and you can decide what you do. So, but what I'm going to say in as far as all this concept, cheating is a choice, not an accident. So somebody cannot say that they were high and that's the reason they behaved in a certain way, because that just only, you know, exacerbated the kind of situation that they had internally. So because it's a choice and it's not an accident, it's just being able to understand why they did what they did and whether you're comfortable with their explanation. Now, the plan for what happens over the conversation, when the conversation's over, is super important. The plan with the conversation always is unlikely that you completely resolve the situation within an hour or two of the chatting. So that's why I kind of talked about, you got to decide what kind of space you both need in the meantime. In other cases, you may wish for the relationship to be put on ice while you process your emotions. You know, whatever it is, you need to have that kind of idea of what to say after the conversation. It's a difficult undertaking to talk to your partner after you've discovered that they're cheating, because it is betrayal, and betrayal is such a strong thing. And given that the context of all of this is kind of getting to know what the version of the relationship, if the relationship survives, what version of relationships moves forward. More often than not, people think that after saying to the other person that, you know, we are good now, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're saying, whatever sort of settlement you come across, that everything is fine. But going forward, whatever version of the relationship we have is not the same as when before the cheating. So even if there's a new trust that comes afterwards, it's a completely different type of trust. So even when you decide whether you're forgiving that person or not, you got to understand and also talk to them about the version of the relationship that you're going to have with them. So that's it. That's it for this week's episode of the Criticast. Just to remind you that you can get this podcast. I don't know where my voice is going. It's the middle of the night, so where my voice is going, it's kind of weird. I've got to chase it in order to finish this episode. Just get in touch with me on larry@3-mob.com for any questions, any suggestions, and so forth you want to have for the podcast. Also, if you want to get the podcast, just go to criticast.co.zw. You'll be taken to the iono.fm page, and you'll be able to listen to every episode historically and the current episode, and also subscribe so that you can get the subscriptions are also available on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts these days, and all sorts of other platforms. For me on Twitter @Quirirai, and that's my Twitter account. Quirirai has got a YI at the end. On Facebook, Larry Quirirai. On Instagram is the same thing. Just look for Larry Quirirai. Just Google me. It's a crazy thing to say. Just Google me. And also, yeah, that's about it. This, remember, this podcast is part of the Three Men on a Boat family. It's the Three Men on a Boat publishing project. And just to, as I go, before I go, I'm going to bring back this sayings. And I say before I go, our times are dark, but our last chapters have not been read. It's been Larry. It's been the Quiddicast. Take care of yourself. Asil siyasebenza.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.